Would you repeat after me? Father, give me ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and eyes to see what your Holy Spirit is trying to get through to me. Amen? And amen. We're going back to the book of Acts because I heard Acts chapter 4 this morning. And so that's where we're headed. Acts chapter 4. Now, they've been persecuted. And Peter has declared that there's salvation and found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, etc. Now, notice again, I'd like to stress the reality of verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Look at your neighbor and say, you qualify. Because you're ordinary. And that's what God likes. Not the puffy ones. You know, the puffy ones are full of hot air. And they give you the aura of superiority. Anybody got a clue about what I'm talking about? Okay. When you find someone in the... I want to word this correctly. Religious realm. That is believing that they have it all. My suggestion is, watch out. Because you could be heading to bow your knee to the wrong spirit. But ordinary men, ordained of the Father, schooled by the Holy Ghost, what have you got? Unpretentious, valuable men and women of God, because Jesus did not choose any of the hierarchy. And those he did choose of the hierarchy, he pulled them down and turned them into blindness. Paul is an experience that we know. Paul was very extremely bright, taught in the best of schools, and yet the Lord blinded him in order to wake him up. That's pretty heavy. Now, verse 14. Well, excuse me. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why is it important that they had been with Jesus?
That's where the boldness came from.
Yes, but there's something else. There's relation. If they had not been with Jesus, had no relationship with Jesus, they would not have been able to carry the anointing he had. And so, if you want the anointing that was on the Lord, you've got to take time with the Lord. It's almost basic, but most people think that they can learn their way into an authority in the realm of the Spirit. And it is false. You can read all the books we have back there, and there's all kinds. And all you're going to do is get puffed up with knowledge, and knowledge brings what? Pride. And so I can remember in one particular time, the Lord said to me, this is 20 years ago at least. He said, Kim, it's time you get rid of your idols. Well, I had already cleaned house. So I thought I had gotten rid of all my idols. Now, you know, when I first began, there was a book called Pigs in the Parlor. I read the book, and boy, it did bring out some truth. And I noticed that I had quite a few idols in my house, things that I worshiped. And the Lord told me that it's time to get rid of them. So I thought I had gotten rid of all my idols, right? Several years later, he said to me again, Kim, you've got to get rid of the rest of those idols. And I said, Lord, I got rid of them already. How many know we have tunnel vision? We only think about one thing, all right? He was trying to spread me a little open, and he said, the idols that you have are people in certain positions. Wow. He said, if the word is declared that Judge so-and-so is going to be in the room, what is going to be your demeanor? He said, you're going to be different when you walk in than if it's the house cleaner.
Wow.
And I took a quick inventory of my normal reaction, and I knew he was right. I knew that my reaction would be different if the house cleaner was in the room or versus Judge so-and-so. He said, I have no problem you respecting the position, but don't worship the man or the woman. Those are idols that you bow to, unaware that you're doing it. Okay? Unpretentious. Peter was making a declaration. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Some of us look for salvation in people or in people with positions. Positions of authority, positions that they have gained through knowledge. And we literally bow without even realizing that we're bowing. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? I had to give that to Jesus because it was too big for me. But I saw what he was trying to get to me. You're doing something that is ungodly. I want you to respect them, but don't worship. There's a difference between the two. And I mean, if you take the religious realm, if you take the political realm, I don't care. The education realm, all of this is what? It's all going to fall. Because it's not the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of what? Strife? Competition?
Division.
It divides? Jealousy? Tell me, are these attributes of the Spirit of God? But they're not, you know? And I said, oh my God, this is scary, Lord. He said, not when I'm in control. It won't be scary if he's in the control room. He'll take care of making you see what you need to see and how you need to see. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? And I would definitely kind of skip the next level and go down to verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. So what was their response for the correction? Prayer. Prayer to God, the sovereign Lord, the one that oversees all of these education, political, and religious realms. They said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Has anything changed? Who are his anointed ones today? We are, but there's also the Jewish nation. Israel is a chosen vessel by God to manifest to the world the reality of a creator. Also a sovereign overseer that would keep them alive in spite of all the persecution that they've been through. Amen? I would say the anointed one probably might be considered the anointed ones. Because as I was speaking to somebody this morning on this subject, I reminded them that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The original was the tree that God planted and he called it Israel. And we've been grafted in. We've been attached to something that has roots. If it's a vine, fine. I don't have a problem with it. But we've been attached. We need to respect the original. And the world does not acknowledge, the world at large does not acknowledge the Lord or Israel. 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against the holy servants Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There were times that people may try to pressure something from or of you. And there are times when God's saying, look, pray first. And after you've prayed, if boldness comes out of your mouth, you better respect that it is the Lord. Peter was an average fisherman. No background in the theologic seminaries of that day. But he spoke the truth. And it shattered all of these religious realms of that day. God is about to do the same today. He's got hidden vessels all over the earth in many nations. Hidden churches like this one that are being prepared by God to do a mighty work. And when the miracles happen, you won't have to see who's sitting next to you. It'll be full. It'll be full of children. That's why your vision. Children in Christ. You have become more adults than you were a few years ago. Every one of you. You may not see yourself as adults, but God does not see you as babies anymore. He sees you as men and women of God, ready to take on the next level. So I'm sure he's going to fill those children's chairs. And they're vibrant colors. Do you know why they're vibrant colors? Those children are going to be full of life. They're not going to sit on ugly chairs. They're going to sit on very vibrant chairs. Think about the reality of this word. These men that were average shook the entire nation. Without a cell phone. Without a television set. Now we have all these communication abilities. God has not changed. Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, what you did then, we're looking for you to do now. With boldness we cry out. Fill my mouth with your word so that lives will be changed. Men and women will be coming towards us to find a way of salvation. His name is Jesus. And we will speak with boldness. And the Holy Spirit will perform the miracles that are needed to confirm his word. Hallelujah. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had, etc., etc., till the end of that verse. Why did I add that? Because when there's conflict of interest, it brings division. God is making his church a church that is unified in love with one purpose, to serve. And all of God's people said, amen. Share some hugs with each other and pray for one another during the week as the Lord provides.